So, Louisa, what I want to start with, first of all, is if you can just kind of describe the physical and geographic setting for the carriage house. I know it was kind of drawn a little bit from where you actually grew up. So just sort of tell us what that neighborhood, what that area is like.
It's kind of a combination of a few different suburbs that I grew up in as a kid, and all of them are fairly affluent, really beautiful suburbs outside of Philadelphia. So I wrote it, and I had just moved to Texas, or I'd moved recently to Texas when I started writing it. And so I was writing with a lot of nostalgia for this environment that I had left behind, the big leafy deciduous trees. And there's kind of an East Coast light that I think is slightly different from the Texas light, and just an environment that I really missed. So there's a lot of nostalgia for that. At the same time, that I feel kind of critical of those suburbs. They're very closed in some ways, and you know, a lot of the families have been there for a very long time, and there's a little bit of a tribal atmosphere there. So I wrote it sort of with some wanting to explore some of the flaws in little closed suburbs like that, at the same time that I was sort of missing the beautiful environment of those places that I grew up in. So that's the main environment. There's also a little bit of Texas. One of the characters has come to Texas for graduate school. So there's sort of a ghost of Texas haunting the background of it also.
What is that like for you as a writer? Then you have this nostalgia for a place that, you know, you can kind of imagine in your mind is physically beautiful, a beautiful setting, but you also know that it's not a perfect place to be, and it's not as idyllic as it may look. What is that tension like to sort of experience that as you're writing something in that setting?
I think it's kind of a great tension to write from. If you feel all one way about a place or a character or even an idea, then it becomes kind of flat as you're writing about it. But to be able to move back and forth between actually a guilty love for those, you know, big, beautiful houses that I used to see as I drove past them, and you know, some of the more beautiful parts of it, at the same time that I'm aware of all of the, you know, there's some weird class issues and a lot of clubbiness and some kind of tribal feudal attitudes. And so to sort of oscillate between those two different extremes was a really fun way of writing, I found.
Well, let's get to some of those weird tribal issues and some of those things going on. There's kind of a main family in the book, the Adair family. Just briefly describe for us sort of who they are.
So there's William, who's the family patriarch, who comes from an old blue blood family that's been in this neighborhood forever. And he has been very proud of his three daughters, Elizabeth, Diana, and Isabel, and then has a stroke and kind of wakes up from the stroke realizing that they're not as great as he had thought that they were. So he has this kind of fall from this state of wonderful pride that he had existed in. And then there's his wife, Margot, who has been suffering dementia and so is forgetting some of the basic facts about her family. And the last character, who's an important character, is William's childhood love, who kind of reappears later in their family life.
I'm really curious why that character, Adelia,
Yeah.
is in there, because she kind of, when I was reading the book, I felt uncomfortable when she was around, and sometimes I kind of wanted her there and sometimes I didn't. Why is she there?
Yeah, I actually wrote the whole novel in conversation with Jane Austen's Persuasion, which I had started rereading just as I was starting to write this novel. And there is this character who isn't in the main family. She's a family friend who's a little bit meddlesome, and she kind of, you know, plays with the fates of all the different characters. And so Adelia was kind of my version of her. And she took on her own life as I started writing her and giving her her own characteristics. But she was kind of my version of the family member who's not quite in the family, who comes and is kind of altering the fate of the family itself.
So you used a really interesting phrase. You said this book was written in conversation with Jane Austen's Persuasion. A lot has been made in reviews of the book and other writing about the book that you draw from kind of the basic arc of Persuasion. So talk a little bit about that relationship and inspiration that came to you from Persuasion.
Yeah, I mean, I think saying I wrote it in conversation with Jane Austen is a self-flattering way of saying that I imitated Jane Austen pretty intensely. But I read it and I was very inspired by the idea of that is a big part of Persuasion, of kind of losing touch with an earlier version of yourself, which Anne Elliot, the main character, has just somehow moved away from this youthful, beautiful, intelligent, hopeful side of herself and is now a little older and can't even remember how she was that version of herself. So I was feeling, having just moved to Texas and left I used to play squash professionally and left all that behind. I also felt like I had kind of lost touch with an earlier version of myself, and I started to get really fascinated by the idea of when you've left one side of yourself behind, how do you start over again? So just in terms of that idea, it was very much in conversation with Jane Austen's persuasion, but I also was just so enraptured by her pacing and the way the plot moves along and her blend of satire and empathy for her characters, and was really trying to work with those same ideas as I was writing.
Well, and you mentioned the father, William, and he has a stroke. And mm-hmm. when the daughters and Adelia go to the hospital to visit, and he says to the daughters, mm-hmm. you know, you've disappointed mm-hmm. me. They've broken his heart. Oh, my gosh. I mean, there is a lot of the characters in the book spend a lot of time wondering, you know, am I doing the right thing? Am I what's my self worth? Have I achieved enough? Like, that's mm-hmm. such an important and sometimes really painful process that they go through.
Yeah. I think that was something that I was worrying about at the time, having just embarked on this whole new version of my life. And it's definitely something that Jane Austen thinks about. She has that middle character, Anne Elliot, has kind of gotten older, and it looks like she may not get married. And her father is definitely disappointed with her. And just that idea of kind of being disappointed with a newer version of yourself felt really moving to me and like something I wanted to explore in the book.
Well, and there's one of the three daughters, Diana, has characteristics kind of close to yours. You played squash, you mm-hmm. played tennis, yeah. but leaving inactivity behind, moving forward, Diana's trying her hand at architecture with mixed success, at least up to a certain point. Were you thinking specifically of yourself when you were writing Diana?
The really nice thing about Diana for me is that she feels like kind of a safe mixture of Anne Elliot and myself. So it didn't feel like I was regurgitating all of my life issues into Anne, but I could relate so strongly to, or into Diana, sorry. I could relate so strongly to Anne that I kind of made this character that is an amalgam of both of us and really enjoyed doing that in Diana.
So the title of the novel is The Carriage House. Talk a little bit about what The Carriage House is, because it's a huge kind of character in and of itself in yeah. the novel.
Well, The Carriage House, in fact, it's just William's grandfather built the house that they live in, and he built this beautiful carriage house behind it that has gotten a lot of acclaim in various architecture journals. And it sort of becomes this symbol of their family's history and their heritage and the greatness that is part of their family. And it's now in decline. As a result of neighborhood subdivision errors, it's in somebody else's backyard and she won't let them repair it. So there are rodents and it's falling apart and the neighborhood wants to demolish it. So it worked really well for me as a symbol of this family's sort of absurd desire to hold on to an old version of this family. It's also actually we moved to a new house when I was in about seventh grade, and there was this big manor house on top of the hill that had originally owned the whole block or something, and they had an ancient decaying carriage house that the neighborhood wanted torn down. And I just, the heat of this feud that this neighborhood association had over the carriage house was like a world war. I mean, it was so intense. And I remember thinking, even in seventh grade, it's incredible how dramatic people make the little issues in their lives. So I found that symbol popping up into my head as I was writing it again.
Well, one thing that it made me think of, just symbolizing family and tradition and kind of those bigger picture issues, mm-hmm. is where that is for us in society today. I mean, we are so mobile. Often people wind up not living in the same town with their family, much less the same house. I mean, William's in the house that has been in his family, yeah. and that's a changing thing. And yeah. sometimes it seems like we don't quite know what to do about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a small piece of me that thinks, oh, wouldn't it be nice if we could all live in our ancient historical family homes, you know, and do that forever. But there's such a, you know, even when Jane Austen was writing that, you know, they were a very, very wealthy family, the family in Persuasion. And as a result, they got to live in their family home, but nobody else has that privilege. So there's kind of a class problem with that nostalgia, which is, yeah, it was a big part of what I was thinking about as I was writing.
I'm thinking, as we're chatting, about the character of Louise, mm-hmm. who is hired to take care of Margot and sort of be a caretaker, but they don't really get along a whole lot. And so Louise yeah. kind of goes off and finds her own activities. But yeah. she wants to be a writer, and mm-hmm. she finds Margot's diaries and mm-hmm. reads them. Louisa, are you? Is Louise a little bit of you also, just in that sort of search for story or search for, because she really examines every member of the family, and she's going to write a novel, she decides, about like a big family.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a little bit of me in all the characters. So Louise doesn't feel like any more of me than anybody else. And that name Louise is funny because people always think my name is Louise. And so I've come to think of Louise as being like my sort of secret arch nemesis, you know, my invisible arch nemesis, which is why I gave that character the name Louise, because she's kind of all the characters. She's a snoop and she's not a very moral person. And she's a very flawed character. So I hope I'm not the most like Louise of all the characters. But yeah, she's definitely the writer in the book and the one who's observing and the one who's kind of trespassing on this family's privacy by writing about them, which as a writer, I think you always worry a little bit about.
But. Was it kind of fun, though, to write a character who is snoopy and flawed?
Yeah, totally. And it was a big relief to write her. I'm so close to that family all the time in this book. And so it was a big relief just to kind of step out of them and be able just to criticize them from outside and not feel so immersed in all of their, you know, emotional upheaval.
So there's so many things about kind of you and this story that are just so interesting. And one of them is your change of location and geography from your growing up place in Pennsylvania to Texas. Mm-hmm. And you were describing writing this, but being sort of nostalgic for home and remembering what that was like. And I'm just curious, I'm interested to hear kind of if you were going to reverse that and maybe if you're in California or wherever you are, if you were going to write about Texas, mm-hmm. what you might write or how you might describe your home here.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think while I was here, so my husband and I for a year in LA, and I hope that we'll be back here soon, but for right now we're in LA. But while I was here, I just sort of felt like I couldn't write about Texas. It was where I was now, and I didn't feel that inspired to write about it. And as soon as we left, suddenly all I want to do is write about Texas. So it's becoming clear to me that a huge motivation for me in writing is nostalgia for places of the past. So now suddenly I'm full of ideas for Texas stories. So
What are some of those ideas that pop into your head?
Yeah, I mean, right now they're sort of more fragments. I haven't had too much time to really formulate a full novel idea, but I have a story in my mind about various characters working on artificial intelligence. Some of the subplots are set in Texas. So.
Louisa Hall is the author of the novel The Carriage House. And Louisa, we thank you for coming in today.
Thank you so much.